So the walk, as we have understood it and worked through these last few weeks, has been remembrance of what it is to be followers and friends of Jesus, right? We talked about needing to worship and to do that both together as a group and privately, to grow personally and intellectually and spiritually through study and the various ways that we educate ourselves and grow in our souls. We talked about the need for service, and last week we talked about the need to be generous. And today I want to talk to you about evangelism, about sharing the things that you have learned about who God is, who Jesus is, and how that has impacted you. And to do that, I really want to tell you a story, but I need to warn you that it has some moving parts to it, okay? So if you feel like you need to take a nap, go ahead and start now and watch this later when you're more refreshed, okay? But try otherwise to stay with me as we go through this. This is a story in many ways that is rooted in Poland. I know we're talking a lot about Ireland, because of the day, of course, but if you have Polish ancestry, I don't, but if you have Polish ancestry, then yeah, good you. And this is also a family story. It was told to me by my cousin. So if you would indulge me. my cousin George actually was a United Methodist pastor and a professor at Emory University and was an evangelist. He traveled the world telling people about Jesus. And he had a partner, Eddie Fox, and they were both just really kind of passionate lovers of Jesus, but they also were very careful to help people understand that we had to do this work of sharing, of going fishing for people in a way that was authentic and not kind of pushing people away. Love that about George. Now, George was asked to travel in different places around the world. We actually did not know we were cousins until I traveled with him to the kind of Estonia area when I was in school. That was a real privilege for me to do that. And we discovered our connection with each other. My aunt helped kind of make that connection. So George was invited to Poland to preach and to share the good news of Jesus. And so they had a gathering of faithful people and people that were exploring the faith, and he was invited to be one of the speakers, one of the preachers for that time. And so George got up and he told a very, very kind of, well-worn story. I suspect that some of you have heard a version of this story at least once. If you haven't, that's totally fine, but you might recognize parts of this story. Just hang in there with me, okay? But the story essentially is this. A mother wanted her son to play the piano. Any victims of that in here? We won't go into the trauma that surrounds that. Mama wanted the boy to play piano, and so she worked hard. They had a piano in the home. There were lessons, and he was pushing against it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to rehearse. I don't want to, just leave me alone. And so what she thought was maybe I'll inspire him by taking him to see a really good pianist. And so there was a sign she saw as she was going home one day for a renowned Polish, this was in Poland, a renowned Polish pianist named, and help me if I get this wrong, I'm looking at you, Willis. Paderewski? Did I do that right? No, stop. It just encourages it. All right, so So Paderewski is coming to town, and there was a lot of anticipation and excitement about it, and so she got tickets. They're very close to the front, and she's going to help her boy feel good about what is going on with his piano lessons. And so Paderewski is on his way. This is back in the day when people traveled by train. Okay, he's on his way, but unfortunately, the train is delayed. They were able to get word to the concert promoters. They came out and said, "We're sorry to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, but the maestro has been delayed, but he is on his way. Please stay, and when he is ready to come, we will have the concert." And people generally stayed. And so it got boring after a while. You know how it is. And so the mother was really just kind of like, I don't know, chatting it up with the person beside, but she kind of lost track of the young boy who made his way around the side and up to the stage, walked, and this is when she sees him, walking up to the piano and sitting down and proceeding to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Y'all know this song. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Give yourself a hand. That was beautiful. Yay. And but the mom was not celebrating quite. She's mortified. She sees him up there. She's thinking, we're going to be thrown out of here. This is terrible. And she starts to get up out of her seat and start working. How did he get up there so fast? And, you know, all that. And about that time, the maestro, Paderewski, walks in. Okay? And he walks in behind the boy. The boy does not see him. And he's kind of like going to the second verse of Twinkle, Twinkle. And the maestro sits down next to him. And says, whispers, "Keep playing." And what happens is amazing, because the boy keeps playing, a little freaked out, but keeps playing, and the maestro fills in the bass part, fills in the parts around it, and improvises right there on the spot. And it is truly, by report, an amazing moment. I've seen versions of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star improvised on. It can be just incredible. We have no record, of course, what that was like, other than it was the touch of the master that took what the little boy had to give and made it into something amazing. Although, he was doing his best. I mean, think about that. You're in front of all those people. You're doing your best. Just kind of like get the rhythm down, you know? Don't miss the note. He took what he had. It's kind of like what we've talked about with God and our life here, that you know, we are not responsible for changing the world. You and I don't have that capacity within us. Have you tried? Have you tried lately? I can barely put my shoes on, right? But when we take what we have been given and put that in, that God is able to take and do the rest and orchestrate something incredible. Something much beyond what we thought our little bit would be. I love that story. Isn't that a good story? Have you heard that story before? Some of you are like, yeah, I've heard that. It's a staple. It's in the preacher's book of greatest hits. So George tells that story. And he is coming to the end of that story. And he's talking to people about who God is and what God is about and how God is able to take that bit that we have, what we have been given, and put that in, and this ripple kind of comes from that. And he hears this disturbance in the congregation. He sees a young woman and what looks like her father sitting there next to each other, and the man is weeping. The young woman has a huge smile on her face, but the man is weeping, and they come to the end of the service. There's an invitation for people to come to the altar and to connect or reconnect or dedicate their life or open their hearts to Jesus, you know, all those different versions of that. And there was that invitation, and there he stood, and the whole room looked at him because they recognized him. And there he stood, he walked up, and he knelt right at the altar rail, and he opened his heart to the Lord, and it was beautiful. And the young girl that had been with him, crying her eyes out, comes and parks herself next to her father, and they pray. And the whole room is electrified by what has just happened there because they recognized him. He was the, well, I'll tell you that part in a minute. Don't you hate that when that happens? Now, she was a young woman who had been she was in her 20s, and she'd been going to free English lessons. She was walking down the street one day, she saw a sign that said free English lessons. She wanted to, you know, diversify, to develop her skills. It was a commodity to have English skills. And so she shows up at this place, and a lovely American woman sits down with her, and they began to work, and they worked for weeks and weeks on developing the English skills that she needs. But at the same time, the young woman is worried. She's thinking, like, this is going to cost me something. What's the catch? Right? This is how we think. What's the catch, she thought. And then she worked up the courage in English to say, why are you doing this? Now, the lady who had been tutoring her and teaching her English said, I was hoping that we would have this conversation. And the young woman's like, okay, here we go. You know, let me introduce you into a timeshare. No. She said, look, I'm an American. I'm retired from being a school teacher. And I'm here with a thing called UMVIM. She was a short-term missionary from the United Methodist Volunteers and Mission. Actually, she was a long-term missionary, kind of like what Don and Donna did in Redbird. She had come to Poland to teach English. And she said, I came here because I learned about Jesus and how Jesus was in love with me. And I saw how Jesus could change lives and how Jesus actually transformed my own life, and that Jesus loved me, and that I came to love Jesus. And because I love Jesus, I love you. This is free. This is a gift to you. Well, that just opened the door. She said, oh my gosh, tell me more. She learned more and became a person of faith. Fell in love with Jesus, went through that road. But her father at home was an obstacle because her father, that man, was the editor of a very large, very influential newspaper in the city. He was well thought of, very influential, but also he was adamantly against what the church, what Christianity offered. Organized religion was really a no-no for him, and particularly Christianity, because he had seen what Christians have done or didn't do. And you know, we've made huge mistakes with people. Sometimes in the name of Jesus, sometimes in the name of, this is what I want, this is who we are. He had a point. But sometimes, you know, what the religion does and what the faith is are different things. So her father did not know about her conversion until she worked up the nerve to say, hey, I've done this. And he says, I've noticed a change. She says, I've done this, and I'd like for you to come to church with me tonight. Well, he refused. Absolutely threw a fit. A good father does what in moments like that? He throws a fit. But this was a week-long thing. The next night, Dad, please come with me. I absolutely not. I forbid you from going. She goes. Next night, Dad, please come with me. Makes it to the week, makes it to the end of the time, and there is George standing there telling his story. The man comes forward and opens his heart to Jesus Christ. The girl who had that relationship entered into a whole other level. And the city was positively impacted by that. He wrote about who he was as a follower of Jesus because of that. Began doing that almost immediately. It was an incredible story. George learned about that. He was incredibly blessed by it. Now, what happens next also includes 9/11, and I am not going to suggest in any way that this is connected to 9/11, other than the fact that George finished up his work in Poland and was trying to make his way back to America. 9/11 had happened, and remember what it was to fly after that? It was a constant nightmare, and he had planned on coming to New York. That was not possible, and so the best he could do is manage a flight to Florida. Poor George. I mean, isn't it awful? That's a terrible place to land. But he wound up heading towards Florida, and he had some connections in Florida to the Florida Annual Conference, and called up a pastor and said, I'm coming to Florida. You know me and what my gig is. And the pastor said, please come. One of the largest, more influential United Methodist churches there in Florida. I can't remember exactly what church that was, but he gets invited to come and preach on that particular Sunday. It's kind of like a weird thing. Things get shuffled around for him to preach that Sunday. He comes in, he gets up at the pulpit, and he begins to tell the story about Paderewski and the impact of taking what little bit you have and putting it in the hands of God, and how God is able to kind of magnify those things and do that incredible work. And then he starts into the story about the girl and her father and the impact that some faithful person saying, because I love Jesus, I love you. And this is free. He tells that story, and he's working his way through it. And he hears this disturbance. But over in where the organ bench is. And so, you know, musicians, they're kind of rough anyway. So you never know what kind of things they've gotten themselves into. I love you. But he hears this disturbance behind him, and he doesn't know what to make of it, and he's kind of concerned, and it sounds like someone's hurt. But he can't see, and he finishes up, and the pastor of the church is like, keep going, you're okay. And he finishes up, and they make it to the end of the service. They had to bring in a musician just to finish the service. So George goes over, and he says, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I hope I didn't say something that hurt you. Are you okay? And this older man who had been in that church for a very long time, a master of his instrument, looked up and said to George, I was that boy. Decades of story rippling through time because people hear the master say, keep playing. And that's the invitation to you. I know evangelism's hard. Some people don't even use that word evangelism. I'm okay with that. I mean, basically what we're doing, when we're not weird. Now, there's weird evangelism. Can I just say that? there's some just like, you know, somebody with a bullhorn and a sandwich board and, you know, things that say, I'm weird, stay away. Right? Okay. There's, and you know what? In some places, there is a place for that. But in other places, in our living rooms, in our work break rooms, in the places where we are, the simple job is for us to keep playing the tune that we've been given. I love Jesus. Because I love Jesus, I love you. I am not perfect. I'm trying to figure all this out, but I have found this to be helpful about my relationship with Jesus. We have a church filled with imperfect people. Sorry. We have a church filled with imperfect people, but we're trying to figure it out, and it helps. That alone is a powerful statement. Okay. So, we have song to play, songs to sing. Now, we are going to have a big moment here in just a few weeks called Easter. Have you heard of it? It's lovely. It's a good thing. And a great way to find Jesus. A great way to find and share Jesus. Oh, Jesus is on the Bible up here too. I think that's perfect. Why wouldn't Jesus be on the Bible? Right? So, we're going to try to help you do this job that we have, which is part of the five of things that we are supposed to do as followers of Jesus. One is we have a lovely video that you can post on your social media today. All right? Could you show that for us, Devontae? And there's sound with it, but oh, the sound is great. So what you want to do is you want to go to our Facebook page and our other socials. There you'll see it, and you'll have an opportunity to say, hey, I'm doing this at my church in a couple weeks. Y'all come. Or whatever version of it that makes the most sense for you to do. Perhaps there is someone at work that you're thinking about. Maybe there's someone in your circle. Just has to be one. Just one. And you say to them what you need to say to them. You tell nothing special. There's no powerful magic words or anything like that. You're not going to convince them of anything that they don't want to open themselves to. And if they say no, that's okay, because the Holy Spirit is kind of working on those things all the time, right? If that editor had an invitation from one of his coworkers, it may not have yielded the same thing, okay? The other thing that we have for you are, there's cards in the narthex, and that has information about Easter, but I want you to also, if you can, pick up one of these stickers. This is really neat, developed in-house. It's got our dove as part of it, and our URL as part of it. But it's also a way to carry your candle, carry your story into the world. And as you are able to, put this in your bathroom, on your mirror, or put it on your water bottle, on the back of your laptop, put it on your nose. That would be a little weird. Kind of violates the weird principle, but put it where it would help you remember that you have an opportunity to carry this candle into the world. And someone years from now can say, I was that boy because of you. That's the invitation for you today. And I say all this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.